Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. What is going on with all of the street construction in D.C.? Well, some of it, not all of it, has to do with the water that you use in your home. It has to do with the sewer system in the district. But repairing that and updating it means that the streets have to be beat up a bit. Well, what is that all about? Well, joining me tonight to talk about it is Carlton Ray. He is the director of the Clean Rivers Project with D.C. Water. He's going to explain everything about the project that is called the Northeast Boundary Tunnel Project. And before your eyes glaze over, you need to pay attention to that because it indeed will affect not only how you're getting around right now, but also how you use water in the future. Lines are open. If you have a question, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. As always, you can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Mr. Ray, thank you for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. I'm glad to be here.
So let's first kind of break this down a little bit, because most people here in the district have never heard of the Northeast Boundary Tunnel Project. They just know that in some parts in the city where they're driving, traffic is an issue. Talk to me about what this is and how it is affecting how people are getting around right now.
Yes, sir. So if we take a step back, DC Water's DC Clean Rivers Project addresses combined sewer overflows that are currently overflowing into the Anacostia River, into Potomac River in Rock Creek practically every time it rains. So back in the 1800s, before you and I were born, Harold, at least before I was born.
a little DC water shade there.
That's right.
So I'll go right ahead.
Yeah. So basically back in the 1800s, there was, people were, starting installing indoor plumbing into their houses, and basically those pipes, they take it out of their house and go to a small pit outside that was periodically dug out and taken and discharged somewhere. So ultimately there was a pipe that was installed in the street, and that pipe connected to the indoor plumbing but also connected to the stormlets off the street. So you have both sewage from the houses, including the Capitol, U.S. Capitol, into the White House, going into one pipe in the middle of the street, and also the storm inlets coming off the street. And we've ultimately built a wastewater treatment plant down by National Harbor called Blue Plains, and that all that flow goes down there during dry weather. But during wet weather, those pipes in the 1800s, and this was built by the federal government, basically those pipes would fill up and instead of backing up in people's homes, there were physical overflow pipes that discharged into the Anacostia River, Potomac River, and Rock Creek.
So you're talking about stormwater runoff.
Stormwater runoff with sewage. So basically we have combined sewage, and so you have ultimately have raw sewage overflowing since the 1800s into the Anacostia. So when we started this whole program back in the 90s, we had over 3 to 4 billion gallons of raw sewage, combined sewage, that would overflow in the Anacostia River and as well as into Potomac River. 2/3 of it went into the Anacostia. So obviously, when you have raw sewage in the river down there in the Anacostia, it was terrible. And so for years, it's been the Anacostia has been an eyesore and forgotten river.
And that's why, you know, growing up here in the district, there were signs for decades that said no swimming.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And so basically, the Clean Rivers Project and our wonderful ratepayers here in the district are basically saying enough's enough, and we're building a tunnel system and green infrastructure. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. But the tunnel system that captures that sewage before it goes into the river. And so we've built about 7 miles of tunnel so far up to RFK Stadium, down to National Harbor, down to Blue Plains, that's currently in service.
So where does it start? Because, you know, for a lot of people, they hear, Northeast Boundary Tunnel Project, and the first thing they think about, without much knowledge is, okay, this is what's going on in the Third Street Tunnel, or this is what we're seeing in other parts of the city. But that's not what we're talking about.
That's correct. So these are different tunnels. These are actually bigger tunnels than the metro tunnels. So metro tunnels, once you get away from the stops, are somewhere around 18, 19 foot in diameter. We're actually building larger tunnels, 23 foot inside diameter. So if you're stacked four of your top on top of yourself, that's how big the inside diameter of the tunnel is. It's a pretty good sized tunnel. And we go underneath the metro tunnel. So for example, our first tunnel that we brought up from National Harbor goes underneath Green Line down on the south side of the Anacostia. We go underneath of that and go north. That sewage, again, if you can picture it, again, for the listeners, we have these physical pipes that allow sewage for years, since 1800s, to overflow into the Anacostia River. We're diverting that sewage and dropping down a shaft 100 to 160 feet below the ground into these large tunnels, and then those get conveyed, that sewage that used to go in the river is now being conveyed down to Blue Plains to be properly treated and recycled water.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking with DC Water, specifically about the Clean Rivers Project, what happens to storm water and, of course, sewage coming from your home. If you have a comment, if you have a question about that or anything related specifically to DC Water, give us a call. Again, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So I'm looking here at some of the information that you've provided. So we're talking about some 27,000 feet, is that correct?
That's correct. So we've already built 7 miles of tunnel, again, from National Harbor up to near Nat Stadium to RFK Stadium. This tunnel is now being extended from RFK Stadium underneath the RFK Stadium parking lot. We're now going underneath the golf course, going underneath, there's a cemetery, and ultimately the Amtrak facility. And then we cross underneath the Amtrak yards, come up to Rhode Island Metro Station, and then come right down Rhode Island to R and 6th Street. So that's 27,000 lineal feet of basically 23-foot inside diameter tunnel that basically will capture all that sewage and provide about 100 million gallons of additional storage to ultimately further reduce the amount of sewage that's going through the Anacostia River.
So I'm not an engineer, but with this new system, this pipe, what percentage of the district's sewage will be moved through this pipe? Are we talking about all of D.C., a portion of D.C.?
Yes. So basically the northeast part of the town and the inner city, basically the capital, U.S. capital, that whole area. So basically kind of the eastern part, anything that flows into the Anacostia River watershed will be picked up by this tunnel.
How does it get there? Because if it's – okay, so let us say that I live off of Pennsylvania Avenue on Capitol Hill, Eastern Market area.
Yes.
I'm assuming
– That's right.
– that any – and I'm cooking in my kitchen.
Yes, sir.
let's keep it palatable.
Yes.
so I'm – you know, I've got my onions and my old salad, and it goes down through my garbage disposal and out of the house – where does it go from there? I'm assuming that the pipes that are already there, this big pipe is going to be connected to the system that is already in place.
That's correct. So basically that, during dry weather, all that sewage that's coming out of your food disposal goes down to Blue Plains in the existing sewer system. During wet weather, there are pipes that used to allow it to go into the Anacostia. So some of your debris that used to go into the Anacostia is now being diverted into this new tunnel system that we've constructed and brought online March of last year. Since we brought that line online March last year. We've caught over 6 billion gallons of sewage and stormwater combined and treated that all that water that would have gone into the Anacostia, all that sewage that would have gone into the Anacostia. That's basically 140 Nat stadiums full of sewage that we've caught over the last since March of last year. So it's this tunnel system has been an amazing success so far. People are out there on the river now. You see sailboats every day, 7 days a week. People on the water fishing, and people are on the water kayaking. There's so much more use on this in this past year, and people are just amazed about how much debris and how much water sewage we've caught out of there. There's still work to be done up in Maryland and up in the outside areas that's in the combined area, but DC Water and DC Water's ratepayers have done a marvelous job so far, and it's going to even get better as time progresses.
202-319-7810. I'm talking to Carlton Ray, the director of the Clean Rivers Project with DC Water. I guess we could say your tax dollars at work. With that said, how much is this costing, and what impact might this have on water bills?
So it's the total price, we estimate it's approximately $2.7 billion. And so that's a lot of money. We've already committed about $1.9 billion toward the Anacostia. The delta is for the addressing the CSOs and
CSOs?
Combined sewer overflows, those physical pipes that I was talking to that we capture and divert into this tunnel system. Mm-hmm. Those combined sewer overflows, the approximately $900 million will go toward addressing over there on the combined sewer overflows on the Potomac River near the Watergate, near the Kennedy Center. We've got some large sewage overflows on the Potomac River that we need to address as well.
Go ahead, please.
That will be done up through 2030 for that work. So we're in the planning stages for starting to address that work. That's
so this particular project, you know, the MBT project, the Northeast Boundary Tunnel project, when did it begin? In this particular one, when is it slated to be completed?
So we started about a year and a half ago, and we plan to complete it in the summer of 2023. So we're mined, it's about 27,000 lineal feet, 27,000 lineal feet, that the complete tunnel that will be completed in 2023. We've mined so far a little over a mile, about 6,000 feet, 6,100 feet, of tunnel. If you go to our website, you can actually see the location where the tunnel boring machine is located right now on the website. It's kind of interesting, but basically we've got a lot of work ahead of us, but we're doing quite well mining, building the tunnel as we're mining.
So one of the things you said that I thought was a little interesting, how deep is this tunnel, this pipe?
That's right. So basically, we're trying to go underneath all the utilities, underneath the structure, underneath structures, bridges, foundations, that type of thing. So we're somewhere between 100 and 160 feet below the ground, mm-hmm, with the tunnel system.
Because you mentioned, going under, a graveyard, not to be morbid, but, let us hope that it's deep enough where we don't have, our beloved deceased falling into. I mean, that's the thing that just kind of came to mind.
Yes.
So.
No, we're quite deep. We're multi-million-year-old material that we're mining through. So it's quite old material. Clay.
But no bodies.
No bodies. No.
That's good to hear. I need to take a break, but when we come back, I've been waiting to say this for the entire 20 minutes that we've already been on the air. We're going to dig deeper into this project. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Give us a call if you have a question about this project or anything having to do with DC Water. We'll try to answer those questions as well. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This program continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about your water and efforts by D.C. Water and the city government to keep the Anacostia River clean. My guest is Carlton Ray. He is the director of the Clean Rivers Project with D.C. Water. And lines are open if you have a question or a comment about your water and the preservation of the Anacostia River. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. So I mentioned before the break, you said this was going to cost approximately $2 billion. That's a billion with a B. Whenever there is a large-scale project of any sort in any municipality, whether it be here or someone else, there's always a concern about how it's going to be paid for. Will residents see an increase in their water bill?
Yes. So they have, since 2009, seen an increase in their water and sewer bills go up. And the CREAC, or the Clean Rivers Impervious Area Charge, is based upon the amount of impervious area that you have on your property. That is primarily paying for for Clean Rivers Project. We've also received money from the federal government, over $200 million to date, for this $2.7 billion program. So, federal government, they built this facilities. They ultimately turned it over to us, and basically it's our responsibility to fix it. So, there's an argument there. Should they be paying more? I personally believe that they should, your bills have gone up, and again, ratepayers have. I know it's tough and difficult and so forth for folks to pay for some of the rate increases. We've worked hard trying to come up with programs for the low income folks who are part of the our community. There's three different levels of different customer assistance programs that they can apply for. They can ultimately receive up to about $720 per year going toward their bill, or substantial going toward their bill. And if you're interested,
I'm sure our listeners would also be interested. And this is why I say that.
Yes, sir.
Because other than some of the traffic difficulties,
yes, sir,
that are caused by this, 100, 150 feet underground, this is something that will never be seen.
Right.
And as a result, some people will say, and I'm sure you've already heard it, why am I paying for something that will never be seen? How will I know that, aside from you telling me so, how will I see that this is beneficial?
Yep. So a couple different benefits out of the Northeast Boundary Tunnel system. One is that we have a lot of the sewers that were constructed by the federal government back in the turn of the century and before, 1800s and early 1900s.
Yes, I remember those. No. Like you said in the beginning of the conversation.
Those are undersized sewers, and so we have flooding. There's localized flooding all throughout Long Rhode Island Avenue, Bloomingdale, LaJoie Park. All those areas have for years experienced flooding. We will mitigate, substantially reduce the chance of flooding. We built a tunnel already on First Street in the Bloomingdale LaJoie Park, and since we brought it online in 2016, it's acting like a large underground cistern. We'll make a connection with this new tunnel when we build the Northeast Boundary Tunnel, so drop water flow all the way from near here all the way down to 13 miles down to Blue Plains to get properly treated. But since we brought that tunnel online in 2016, there's been little or no flooding in that area. Now, we've had flooding all around us here, but that where that tunnel's serving, there's been little or no flooding. That's our goal here from once we bring the Northeast Boundary Tunnel. And then also, besides the you know, what people see is if you go to the Anacostia River, you can go to the river now. We've caught 2,300 tons of trash with the first phase of the tunnel system. 2,300 tons. A lot of that's plastics and bottles and other stuff that you would, the unmentionables that you would see in sewage. We've captured that. We're making the Anacostia River transforming from an eyesore to an asset. I mean, it's tremendous what's going on down there and on the river. And if people are joining them walking down by the river, fishing down the river, and we're just going to continue to make it better with this next phase with the Northeast Boundary Tunnel connected to it.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Jason, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Jason. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi. Good evening, gentlemen. I just wanted to find out this new project is being developed or starting to be developed in northeast section of D.C. Who is actually paying for this? Is this coming out of the utility as we pay our utility bills? Is that being absorbed into the utility bill, or how does that work?
Go right ahead, Mr. Ray. He may have missed that earlier conversation, but please repeat.
Yes, sir. So, Jason, so basically the ratepayers, your utility bill is paying for that. A large portion of that is paid by all the ratepayers, which we're thankful for. Also, the federal government has contributed about $200 million toward the program so far, and it's year-by-year basis. We continue to strive to try to garner more money from the federal government to help with what we believe is pay their fair share for it. But you're right. Basically, it's coming out of your utility bill from what they're calling Clean Rivers Impervious Area Charge. So that portion of it is borrowing majority of the cost. We are also including just recently transforming so portion of that cost will also be paid by a volumetric charge. So
now, what is a volumetric charge?
It's how much water and sewer you use in your normal how much you flush
day to day.
That's yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And that's how a part of the bill would be paid for that. But it's primarily from the clean that impervious area charge. Most majority of it's being paid for.
Now, you said since 2009 there was an increase.
Yes, sir.
So this is now 2019.
Yes, sir.
10 years. What are the chances that in the next couple of years that there may be a reduction in what residents are paying for this?
Most likely not.
Wishful thinking.
Yes,
here.
Sir. Yeah. It's basically we still have additional work that needs to get done. We still have to pay for that. It continues on. The increases continue on until we think around 2030 when we basically stop and finish the Clean Rivers program.
Jason, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Now, I have not seen the specific traffic that has been impacted by this project, because that's not part of my commute to the district. So where are the issues now as it relates to traffic, and moving forward, what might people expect to see between now and the time that this, or I should not say expect to see, but how they expect to be impacted traffic wise? I mean, do we need to start taking scooters to get around some of this stuff?
No. So if you remember, I was telling you that we need to drop we got to get the sewage down to the tunnel. And to do that, we build these large shafts, and we drop the flow in a spherical manner, and it spirals all the way down to the bottom to the tunnel, and then we drop it into the tunnel and takes off. itself. So all these areas that we've had flooding along Rhode Island Avenue over the years, since the, since 1800s, late 1900s, as soon as we started having the sewers up there, we're undersized and we're having problems. And, so there's flooding, localized flooding along Rhode Island, and we're building shafts, for example, at Rhode Island Metro, at 4th Street, at Florida Avenue, at T Street, on all the way down to R Street at 6th and R. Each of those locations, we have a construction staging area that sometimes will move out into the street of Rhode Island Avenue. And so we have worked with DOT for a number of years, coming up with methods, trying to minimizing the impact, the traffic impact we have at each of those sites. And so to try to reduce the impact that we have on the commuter traffic that's coming into town from the northeast part of the community, coming in from the northeast, using Rhode Island in and out. And so far we've done a pretty good job. We need to keep on top of our toes and let people know when those construction impacts are going to occur. And so we again, that's something that we've worked hard at. We have different traffic advisories. We work with WHUR and other radio stations, letting folks know when those possible conflicts might occur. But we try to minimize the impact that we have on this very, very large project on Rhode Island Avenue.
Talk to me a little bit more about Blue Plains, because I think this is, you know, certainly outside of this, slightly outside of the purview of this project. But with these, the stormwater and the sewage and everything else going to Blue Plains, what happens to the water after it gets to Blue Plains?
Excellent question. So we have very, very large pump station, a 225 million gallon day pump station that we constructed along with a what we call wet weather treatment facility. We pump the sewage out of that tunnel. As soon as we start getting flow in there, we crank up this wet weather treatment facility. We pump the sewage out of the tunnel, and we maximize the existing capacity of the world's largest advanced wastewater treatment plant. And I encourage the listeners, I know the White House tour is cool and all that stuff, but the Blue Plains wastewater treatment plant, advanced wastewater treatment plant tour is amazing.
Do you get a mask?
No, we don't get a mask.
But
no, if you want to bring your own, you can. but it's amazing what we're doing down there. We're basically creating energy now from your biosolids that you're producing. So we're basically taking and creating about a third of the energy for the facility, and we're trying to ultimately be energy neutral in years out. And something is an amazing facility. So we pump the flow out of the tunnel system as soon as the flow starts coming into it, and go ahead and treat that water. And basically, again, once it goes through our treatment facility, it's remarkable what it comes out. It's nearly drinking water quality, and then we discharge it into the Potomac River. So it's from where it was to what's happening right now. It's just amazing transformations.
And I think that's what I was getting to, because we know what we're sending from our homes, and it doesn't take a whole lot of imagination to figure out what has been going through the old pipes and what has been going through and what will be going through this new pipe. But again, there's so much of that in addition to the stormwater. And I often wondered, so where does that water go, and what happens to the sewage?
That's right.
That you remove.
So again, we don't look at it as wastewater. We look as it's actually an asset. So we take that and we treat the water, and we pull off the biosolids. We take the biosolids and treat those biosolids. We actually create energy from those biosolids, and then anything that's remaining, we're actually using that for, we're bagging it up for as part of Blue Drop, and using that biosolids for people's lawns and the various tree boxes they have around their houses and so forth. And it's a great product. It's just it's a super solution. So we're creating energy, but also treating sewage at the same time.
I want to hear a little bit more about that. Okay. and how that's done. Not only creating the energy piece, but also, as you said, for lack of a better term, fertilizer. I want to hear about that after I take this break. So please stay with us. We are talking about the Northeast Boundary Tunnel Project with the Clean Rivers Project Director, Carlton Ray, and DC Water. We'll be back. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion tonight about the Clean Rivers Project and the Northeast Boundary Tunnel Project with Carlton Ray, Director of the Clean Rivers Project with DC Water. Before the break, Carlton, we were talking about what happens to the water and what will continue to happen to the water once this project is completed after it reaches Blue Plains. And the thing I specifically was curious about, because I think a lot of people wonder about this, whether you're a D.C. resident or whether you're going back and forth along 295, because even if you don't know what the Blue Plains facility is, your nose does as you drive by. And so they often wonder what happens to the sewage after it is removed from the water. And you said it's almost drinkable when it's put back into the Potomac. But you said it's used to create fuel. Explain that, please.
So we take, as we're going through the treatment process, we pull off the water, sewage, and basically treat that in through various stages, through several different stages. And ultimately, that gets treated through filtration and ultimately discharged into Potomac. Throughout the whole process, we're pulling off biosolids, the materials, the solids within sewage, and use and basically go through a patent process called Cambi process, where we basically heat those biosolids up and create energy from breaking that down. And those turn turbines, and we basically generate power from those turbines and ultimately create about a third of the energy that's driving that we would normally buy through PEPCO.
So let me see if I have this right. So what you're saying is that when the sewage is processed and the water is going back into the Potomac, that at least one third of the power used at Blue Plains is self-generating.
That's correct.
Okay.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
it's just truly amazing. And so we're also now we're installing solar panels throughout the facility. What we're trying to do is minimizing our carbon footprint on the district of District Columbia. And so we're looking at all different ways to further reduce the amount of energy we're using or buying and ultimately trying to self-generate that energy on the site to reduce their energy costs and ultimately help ratepayers.
So you mentioned again that what is left is used and it is either given or distributed to the public for fertilizer.
Yes, sir.
So how does that work?
So we basically it's gone through this process, and so it's basically gone through a pressure cooker, and so on the downstream side of it, it's basically the material that's coming out has basically been pasteurized, and so it can be turned around and bagged up, and we sell it. We actually sell that product through a group called the Blue Drop. And so now you can go to your local hardware stores and see bags of fertilizer that was basically generated from Blue Plains.
Oh, okay. So because I was under the impression that perhaps you would, pick it up at the at Blue Plains, but so it's distributed to hardware stores?
Yes, sir, and various stores that landscapers, other folks who use it. It's known as Bloom, B-L-O-O-M, Bloom. And so if you see it in your local hardware store or in your landscaping facility, we encourage you to use it because it's a great product.
What does it look like?
It just looks like dirt. It just looks like what your normal dirt would look like.
Have you used it?
Yep, I've used it. My roses look great.
Okay. Well, that's good. So, because I've never heard of it, and now I'm particularly curious because I'm thinking it just looks like dirt, and you can.
That's right, and then use it and supplement with your other ground, and ultimately have better vegetables, better flowers. You know, it's a great product to use.
Does it smell?
No, it's pretty good. Okay. Pretty nice.
Get some roses from you. Now, in the last few minutes here, what is it, that you want people to know specifically about this project that perhaps we haven't mentioned, or you think that's really important for them to know moving forward?
I think first thing overall, I Anacostia River is a great, great river, and there's great resources that are being that folks are using, whether it's sailboating or kayaking, or you getting in a John boat or fishing. I encourage you to go down to the river. The river is getting better and better. It's going to get better. Once we complete this Northeast Boundary Tunnel in 2023, it's even going to be better than that. It's this largest environmental improvement in the history of the river that we're basically DC Water and the ratepayers have undergone and working for. And once that gets improved, we're taking 98% of the sewage on an annual basis out that used to go in the river. We're taking that off. And so this giant source of pollution that's been going on since the 1800s, that's coming out. And people are enjoying it. Now we're talking about ultimately swimming in the river, which is, that's where we need to be going. And, cause it's a great river, and I just encourage folks to come down to the river and enjoy it. And so far, like I've said, we've had this dramatic reduction of sewage that has gone into the river. It's going to even get greater. We're going to capture 98%. Once we get this Northeast Boundary Tunnel, we're going to capture 98% of the sewage that's gone into the river since the 1800s. We're going to mitigate a lot of the flooding that's been going on since the 1900s up here in the northeast part of the district with all the localized flooding that's been going on in LaJoie, Bloomingdale, all these areas through here, is going to be mitigated with this Northeast Boundary Tunnel. So it's dramatic improvements you'll see.
And the wildlife and the fish there, are we talking about healthier? Because people,
oh yes,
I mean, because people have been fishing, in the Anacostia since I was a kid, so they're not afraid, but.
So we have a sediment issue that we still need to address. The DOE is coordinating with the National Park Service and is doing a good job of coordinating and trying to come up with solutions to address the sediment problem that has some high levels of metals in them. But overall, the fish is going to be better. The aquatic species are coming back. The bird life, the waterfowls, all that is coming back to the Anacostia, something that we wouldn't have saw 10 or 15 years ago.
Well, I think that's a good place to end this conversation, but I want to thank you, Carlton Ray, for coming in and sharing this with us. And also, let us hope that during the course of this construction that those workers remain safe as well. Always safety first when you're doing big projects like that. So, again, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks,
I appreciate it. That is The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Thursday, July 25th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHURFM.